For our second meditation, we will reflect on the trial of Jesus Christ before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea. The account of the trial was recorded in all four Gospels, and each author has his own unique focus and flavor. But in John's account, we get behind the scenes to hear the conversations between Pilate and the Jewish leaders and between Pilate and Jesus. The Jewish leaders had led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters, not for a friendly visit, but instead to accuse him of crimes that he had not committed. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus was accused of misleading the nation and for forbidding the people to give tribute to Caesar, and for calling himself a king, Luke chapter 23. In the Gospel of Matthew and Mark, they had testified against Jesus for many things. And in John, they had accused Jesus of doing evil. And they told Pilate, if this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you. And these Jewish leaders were devout in their religious practices. We were told that they were concerned that they would defile themselves as the Passover feast was drawing near. Hence, they would not enter the headquarters of Pilate because Pilate was a Gentile. Despite all that they had done to keep themselves clean and pure on the outside, they were, however, so defiled on the inside. Their hearts were filled with such great wickedness and evil to conspire to kill an innocent man, breaking God's sixth commandment, you shall not murder. Pilate consented to meet the Jewish leaders outside his headquarters, not to welcome his guests, but to collaborate with them to kill Jesus. Pilate knew their intention. What accusation do you bring against this man? He asked, which indicated that Pilate knew about a premeditated plot to kill Jesus. Pilate suggested for the Jewish leaders to carry out their own trial against our Lord Jesus. Take him yourself and judge him by your own law. Verse 31. And it was likely that at the point in time that Pilate already knew that Jesus had appeared before Caiaphas, the high priest. And yet he asked, not because he wanted to give Jesus a fair trial, but because he wanted to know if the Jews were serious with their plot to kill Jesus. To which the Jews responded, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. The Jewish leaders were right that they do not have the legal power to put someone to death as they were under the Roman authority. Yet they had already given their verdict and it was venomously pronounced before the trial had even begun. It was unfair, unjustified for anyone to carry out such extreme evil against a fellow human being. But John, the author, reminded us in verse 32 that this was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. Our Lord was, however, not disturbed by what had transpired, and neither was he unaware of their evil and wicked schemes. It was for this very reason, he said at the Garden of Gethsemane, that he came to this hour prepared to be sacrificial lamb on the cross to pay the penalty of sin for all mankind, so that our Father in heaven may be glorified. John chapter 12. When the plot to kill Jesus was hatched, the scene now moved inside the headquarters of Pilate, the Roman governor, signifying the start of the trial proper. And Pilate began the trial by seeking to trap our Lord Jesus with the question, are you the king of the Jews? Verse 33. Now, if Jesus had responded with a yes, he would be found guilty of revolting against Caesar, the Roman emperor. And if he had responded with a no, Jesus would be perceived as a liar all this while. And that would totally discredit all that he had taught and done for the past 3 years of his ministry. Regardless of Jesus' answer, it would give Pilate sufficient reasons to convict Jesus for doing evil as claimed by the Jewish leaders. Jesus didn't fall for Pilate's trick. Instead, he questioned Pilate, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate responded, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation, chief priests, have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" It was so clear that Pilate had colluded with the Jewish leaders, and his response revealed the painful truth that Jesus, the King of the Jews, the Messiah, our Savior, was rejected by his own people, and they were after his blood. For generations, the Jews had anticipated the arrival of their Messiah and their King. Unfortunately, they had envisioned their Messiah to be a political leader, a royal king, and not a lowly, humble servant, the son of a carpenter. They could not accept the fact that Jesus, the son of the carpenter, was their Messiah, the King of the Jews. They feared to realize that God had given them not a political Messiah, but rather a Messiah who came as a lowly, humble servant to redeem them from eternal judgment and to lead them into the eternal kingdom of God. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Pilate responded to Jesus' command, hoping to trap him a second time. "So you are a king?" Verse 37. For which Jesus cleverly responded, "You say that I am a king. And for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth." Indeed, my dear friends, the King of the Jews came to bear witness to the truth. Jesus Christ, though in the form of God, did not count himself equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Philippians 2. Finding that he had no case against Jesus, Pilate went back to the Jewish leaders and told them, "I find no guilt in him." Given normal circumstances, Pilate was obligated to release Jesus. But because of the plot to kill Jesus, Pilate was determined that the demand of the Jewish leaders should be met. So Pilate suggested to them, "Why do you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover, so do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" Knowing that Jesus had gained certain reputation and popularity amongst the people, Pilate didn't want the blood of Jesus to be on his own hand, especially when he had found no guilt in the man. Pilate offered to release Jesus, knowing well that his suggestion would be vehemently rejected by the Jewish leaders. And determined not to spare Jesus, the Jewish leaders cry out, "Not this man, but Barabbas." And now Barabbas was a robber. In the Gospel of Mark, the Jewish leaders incited the crowd, shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" The life of their Messiah, in exchange for the life of Barabbas, a notorious prisoner, a murderer for insurrection, and a robber to satisfy their own carnal and worldly desire. Their response was heartbreaking and disheartening. It reflects the extreme darkness of our human nature and the deep weakness of our world. Have we likewise, my friends, rejected Jesus Christ and his kingdom, the kingdom of God, in exchange for our pursuit of worldly power and pleasure? Despite the extreme darkness of our human nature and the deep darkness of our world, Jesus Christ willingly gave up himself on the cross. And D.A. Carson wrote, and I quote, "It was not the nears that held Jesus to the wretched cross. It was his unqualified resolution out of love for the Father to do the Father's will, and that it was his love for sinners like me," unquote. His love for sinners like you and me. My dear friends, Good Friday is not only good because Jesus has traded places with us. It is good because the Son of God willingly stood trial before Pilate and gave of himself sacrificially on the cross to conquer death and the power of sin, so that we will never be separated from God the Father ever again. Greater love has no one than this, that someone would lay down his life for a world in deep darkness and a world in need of much hope, a hope that can only be found in Jesus Christ. And for Christ alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through him. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.